and this is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. For six long weeks, the Brent Spence Bridge was closed following that fiery crash involving two semis back in November. The span connecting Covington to Cincinnati via Interstate 71 and 75 reopened just before Christmas, but that congested corridor has for years been the topic of discussion related to improvements. So what happens now? Joining us to discuss is Northern Kentucky Chamber of Commerce Vice President of External Affairs and Communications, Kristen Baldwin. Kristen, welcome back to our show.
Good afternoon. Thanks for the opportunity to join you today, Michael.
And also with us is Kentucky Highway Contractors Association Executive Director Chad LaRue. Chad, welcome.
Thank you, Michael. Pleasure to be here.
Our number is 513-419-7100 if you have questions or comments about the bridge and its corridor and the future of it. Kristen, what do you think this region learned about the Brent Spence Bridge corridor while it was basically shut down for a month and a half?
I think safety. Safety is first and foremost. North Kentucky Chambers and our members, our focus is always to make sure that we can make this corridor as safe as possible. We learned, we were very thankful, and you were very fortunate as a region that this accident occurred at 3 a.m. in the morning and that no one was critically injured or killed, which could have been much, much worse. But I think it brought back to the level of interest and reminder to our region that there are over 600 accidents on this corridor annually. It's over two a day. And so if there's ever an accident here, our first thought is always to the safety of those that may have been involved in an accident. But second is the unpredictability of the traveling public in this corridor, in this region. Whenever we see an accident happen, the first thought goes back to how long is it going to take me to get home? How is my commute going to be affected? And so I think safety definitely was back at the forefront of the conversations when the bridge was shut down for those 41 days.
And what about the supporting infrastructure and roads that were needed in a larger than usual volume because of the shutdown of the Brent Spence Bridge? I mean, we're talking about the bridges that connect Covington to Newport over the Licking River, alternative bridges like the Roebling Suspension Bridge, the Clay Wade Bailey Bridge that connect Covington to Cincinnati, and then a lot of the streets in Covington and along the river in Cincinnati that had to accommodate so many vehicles while this bridge connecting, you know, a major interstate was closed.
We saw how fragile those were. We saw that the Roebling Bridge was shut down within hours after the Brent Spence Bridge was shut down itself. We saw that the 4th Street Bridge, which had major maintenance issues back in April and was shut down then, that was having some concerns as well. We saw that 471 and 275 were a parking lot the majority of those 41 days. So the infrastructure across our entire region, mainly those side streets and those other arteries, were also very, very fragile and couldn't withstand the diversion of traffic that occurred during this corridor shutdown.
Let's bring in Kentucky Highway Contractors Association Executive Director Chad LaRue. Chad, this corridor has been the topic of conversation for many, many years, but it's not the only congested corridor or piece of infrastructure in need in Kentucky, but funding is the problem. I'm wondering what your organization thinks about this situation we're dealing with in Northern Kentucky and the state's position in general.
Sure. As far as for Northern Kentucky, certainly the Brent Spence Corridor is a high priority project, not only for Kentucky and Ohio, but also across the Eastern Seaboard. I'm sure everyone's heard at this point, over 3% of the gross domestic product of the United States travels across that bridge. So it's a key connector north-south for the eastern half of the United States. But, you know, our organization has worked with the legislators and has worked with the Kentucky Transportation Cabinet to identify the needs across the state. Working with KYTC, county and city governments, we've quantified that there's over $1 billion per year needed in additional funding. That's a significant number, and we know that, but are working with legislators to try to figure out what is a reasonable approach to modernize and increase transportation funding in the state of Kentucky.
And so that will come at the state level, of course, in the form of the legislation that is considered in the General Assembly. I'm wondering if in this 30-day session that's coming up, Kristen, if we will hear the words Brent Spence Bridge.
You won't hear from a legislator, you hear it from me. I fully anticipate that Governor Beshear, during his Commonwealth address this evening at 7 p.m., I hope your listeners tune into that tonight. I do anticipate the governor will address that situation. Again, it was a major shutdown, a major corridor, and a major aspect of not only the Northern Kentucky economy, the Cincinnati economy, but the Commonwealth as a whole. I do anticipate the governor is going to address that tonight and talk about it. I do anticipate that Representative Sal Santoro from Boone County will be discussing it. I anticipate that the entire North Dakota Legislative Caucus will be addressing this one and talking about them. If they don't, we will make sure that the business community does address this during all of our conversations with them.
We're going to get back to how roads are funded in Kentucky and the shortcomings of that system momentarily. But just to continue on the Brent Spence Bridge situation, we did hear from some local officials and some local activists that perhaps now is a time for a reset in this conversation about the Brent Spence Bridge and the corridor project and the plans that have been laid out for that. I have to say, I don't know exactly what that means. Kristen, do you know what that means?
I think during all the press conferences that the Secretary of Transportation, Jim Gray, had during the time that the bridge was shut down, that was always addressed and always talked about. There are many, many different players and partners that are involved in this conversation, including the federal government, with the new transportation secretary that's coming in, Mayor Pete, that will join the Biden administration in a couple of weeks. You'll see some continued renewed conversations with those. Those are conversations within the Kentucky Transportation Cabinet, with the Ohio Department of Transportation and the federal government and the local legislators to be discussing that one. And so we hope that they are continuing to move forward on that one. But we have, you know, as you heard with public comments and public interviews with Secretary Gray, that those will be continuing and ongoing.
And Chad, when we think about a mega project, which is what this would be, a multi-billion dollar project, more than likely involving the Brent Spence Bridge, and whether that means putting a second span next to it, adding lanes on both sides of the highway, what does that mean in terms of job opportunities for people who work as highway contractors?
Sure. It's a great question, Michael. And undoubtedly, any investment in transportation supports existing jobs that are in place today, while also providing opportunities for increased employment in those regions. Just a little fact to know, economic studies and analysis show that there's a 5-to-1 return on investments on any investment made into a transportation system. You know, the Brent Spence at the current project scope is estimated to be about a $1.7 billion investment. So, you know, quick math tells us that would have an $8.5 billion economic impact to the surrounding area. And $1.7 billion in investment supports 19,145 people employed either directly or indirectly as a result of those investments.
All right, we're going to pick up this conversation in just a moment, including to get a better understanding of what the Kentucky state gas tax is and why people have been critical of it not being increased in quite some time. You're listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition on demand. Did you know you can have the show delivered straight to your smartphone every day? Just go to your favorite podcast listening app, search Cincinnati Edition, and subscribe. You'll be able to keep up with all our great conversations with newsmakers, public officials, and other interesting people from the greater Cincinnati region and beyond on the go, anytime, anywhere. It's great for those days you can't tune in to catch us live. Weekdays at noon on 91.7 WVXU. And this is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. Let's continue our conversation about highways and roads and gas taxes now with Northern Kentucky Chamber of Commerce Vice President of External Affairs and Communications, Kristen Baldwin, as well as Kentucky Highway Contractors Association Executive Director, Chad LaRue. Kristen, help us understand the gas tax in Kentucky, what it is, and what some believe it needs to be.
Actually, Michael, I'm going to throw this one over to Chad.
My apologies. Chad, why don't you take that one for us?
Sure, happy to do it. So the gas tax in Kentucky is based primarily on the average wholesale price of fuel. So essentially, you pay for it at the pump, but it's collected from the wholesale distributors. And what really needs to happen, so in 2014, Michael, the gas tax in Kentucky was 32 cents a gallon. With that being based on the wholesale price of gasoline, we saw, you, many of you all may recall, there was a pretty precipitous drop in fuel prices during that time. And as a result of that, we saw the gas tax drop 6.5 cents per gallon. It was at risk of dropping up to 10 cents per gallon. Legislators took action to try to stem that loss, but we did lose 6.5 cents per gallon. And I would want your listeners to know that each penny of gas tax generates approximately $30 million per penny. So in 2015, as a result of the drop of the price at the pump, we saw a loss of $195 million.
And this is how many of the road projects in Kentucky are funded.
That's exactly correct. So a good portion of the roads are funded in Kentucky through the state motor fuels tax, as well as obviously the federal motor fuels tax. And I think it's important to note here as well that the motor fuels tax in Kentucky is revenue shared with the county and city governments. And the county and city governments combined get a 26% of the revenue generated by the motor fuels tax. And that is their only revenue source to fund their transportation responsibilities at the county and city levels.
And when's the last time there was an increase in this gas tax?
The gas tax last increased in 2014 because it was set as an automatic index to the average wholesale price. So legislation was put into effect in the early 90s, and that model worked and was efficient up through 2014. And since then, the model has really been broken as far as being able to adequately fund transportation in Kentucky.
I imagine that it's also challenged by the idea that there are fuel efficient vehicles now. It's challenged by periods in time when the gas prices are lower, and by people just not driving so much because of the return of people living in cities and possibly biking and walking more.
That's exactly right. And so, and where the gas tax is right now, Michael, you know, I don't know how it is exactly in Covington. I live in Frankfort. But, you know, when the gas is $1.97 a gallon at the pump right now, you pay 26 cents a gallon to the state of Kentucky. When gas goes up to $2.45 a gallon at the pump, you're still paying 26 cents a gallon to Kentucky. The fact is that gas has to get above $3 a gallon using the current formula before Kentucky would realize any additional growth to the gas tax based on the wholesale price of gasoline. The only opportunity for growth right now is through additional consumption or sales of gas, of gallons of gasoline.
Well, speaking of Frankfort, the Kentucky General Assembly gaveled in for its shorter 30-day session, and that is underway as of this week. Kristen, tell us a little bit about what the priorities are expected to be as it relates to transportation projects in our region.
I mentioned earlier, Representative Sal Santoro from Boone County has been the champion for this issue, for modernizing the road fund. He has introduced a bill the last three legislative sessions. He will continue to champion that, and we are very grateful to his leadership on this issue.
Can you help us understand a little bit about what that means to modernize it?
So to modernize the road fund is just a lot of what Chad was talking about. The fact that there was some floors set, there should not have been changes since 2014, looking to increase that to also not only talk about roads, but talk about additional infrastructure projects. So whether that means for roads, for bridges, for also for the types of infrastructure, including railways, waterways, airports as well. So it's modernizing the entire infrastructure of the Commonwealth, not just roads. Obviously, that's a major portion of where our road fund goes to, but there's other elements of infrastructure we should be also looking at.
And so what are some other priority areas that you expect maybe the Northern Kentucky Legislative Caucus might seek to prioritize, even though it's a shorter session in the upcoming weeks?
As it relates to infrastructure, they do have to pass a one-year infrastructure bill or road fund. Due to the pandemic, they were only able to pass 1 year last year, and so they need to come back, which is unusual for them to do in a 30-day session. One of the other major projects at the top legislative caucus is the expansion of Kentucky 536. In southern Boone County, they were able to complete a couple miles of that. That was reopened recently. They're now moving in to the eastern part of Boone County, hopefully into Kenton County next. That is a large 20-year project they've been working on. But 536, we know in Northern Kentucky, we have a hard problem with east-west corridors. And so that's another major project. Obviously, there's a lot more infrastructure going on around the airport. That continues to be a major infrastructure. On the point of that, I do want to emphasize the fact that an investment in infrastructure is an investment in our economy. It's a huge economic development boom. I don't know if your listeners could ever point to a road being expanded, a new bridge being inputted that didn't then spur additional economic development. And so that means increase in property values. That means an increase in employment. That means an increase in tax revenue for those local economies, which is critical to all of us in our region.
Well, speaking of east-west corridors, Kristen, I'm thinking of the 4th Street Bridge between Covington and Newport over the Licking River. It's an older bridge. It is slated to be replaced at some point. It's been in the projected road fund budget off and on with varying degrees of information attached to it on what it might look like. But We're watching this Ovation project take off on the Newport Riverfront. We're watching the redevelopment of Newport on the Levee. There's going to be a huge music venue that will open soon when those things are allowed at the Ovation site on the Newport Riverfront. We see all the development on the Covington side as well. I mean, this particular bridge is going to be probably pretty important for that new commerce opportunities that are emerging. And we saw it at an absolute standstill while the Brent Spence Bridge was shut down, as people saw alternative ways to get around the city. It was just a disaster. Do you see any emphasis on those types of projects in the days ahead in Frankfort?
Very much so. I know that the 4th Street Bridge is a priority of the chairman of A&R, which is the Appropriation Revenue Committee, Senator Chris McDaniel from Kenton County. I know there's been a lot of business leaders in both Covington and Newport who've put specific interest on this 4th Street Bridge. This has been a 15-year project on the list to get things done, but this has definitely been moved to the top of the list. Again, the business community has made this a priority to make sure that the 4th Street Bridge connecting Covington and Newport is a top priority and gets moved up the list to be taken care of. As you mentioned, Ovation has been a major investment. We saw with the connection of the AA and Route 8 go through Newport into Cincinnati, that huge investment. You saw new investments specifically, you know, you saw New Riffs West Campus down there. You saw some additional investment with Ovation in that area. So again, we're seeing investments being made in infrastructure directly lead to additional economic development investments in the region. As a new resident of Newport, I'm very excited that we're going to get some renewed interest as I cross this bridge daily with my family. I want to make sure that it's done safely. Again, I led this conversation talking about safety. It's about safety, again, for our citizens as we go across our region every single day.
And Chad LaRue, Executive Director of the Kentucky Highway Contractors Association, in our last minute together, what do you expect the priorities to be in the General Assembly as it relates to transportation?
I think certainly our focus and the focus in the legislature as it relates to funding is some sort of package and trying to get traction to pass it, both by the House, the Senate, and the approval from the governor of some sort of funding package that will allow more priorities and more of the challenges facing our transportation system to be addressed in a more timely manner. To your point about the 4th Street Bridge, right now the challenge is that we have to reassess and shuffle priorities based on the current funding. And the reality is that we need more funding. And so if we can grow that pie, then there's the ability for the cabinet to take on more priority projects in a more timely manner.
Governor Andy Beshear is to speak this evening in the State of the Commonwealth address that was scheduled for yesterday originally, but he and legislative leaders decided to postpone considering the events in Washington, D.C. So we will keep a lookout on what he might say about the Brent Spence Bridge and other transportation issues. There will be coverage at WVXU.org and on Morning Edition on our air in the morning of what the governor might say. My thanks today to Northern Kentucky Chamber of Commerce Vice President of External Affairs and Communications Kristen Baldwin and Kentucky Highway Contractors Association Executive Director Chad LaRue. Thanks for your time. Appreciate you both.
Thank you.
Thank you, Michael.
And you've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Our producer is Selena Reeder. Our assistant producer is Nick Swartzel. Our technical director is Josh Elstrow. This theme music was composed by Rob Fetters. You can find archives of this program online at WVXU.org. I'm Michael Monks. We'll talk again tomorrow.